And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And good Monday, everyone. No, it's not Bishop Jackson today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson. Bishop should be back in the chair again tomorrow. Well, it has been said many times, and you've heard the phrase on this network, elections have consequences. And certainly we have seen this less than a week now since Joe Biden was sworn in as president of the United States. Didn't waste any time. At least 17 executive orders signed so far. As far as I know, that is the most of any president, at least in recent history. And this morning, he continued that. President Joe Biden today signing an order reversing a Pentagon policy that largely barred transgender individuals from joining the military. You may remember that the president, President Trump, put that in place early on in his administration, his first 4 years, and now that is changing. And so the order is to be signed, I think, officially this afternoon with the new Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, who apparently says he doesn't have a problem with that, transgenders serving in the military. Very interesting, the statement from the president. he says, America is stronger at home and around the world when it is inclusive. The military is no exception, the order says, allowing all qualified Americans to serve their country in uniform is better for the military and better for the country because an inclusive force is a more effective force. End quote. Explain that to me. Why is it more effective than a man who dresses as a woman is going to make our military better? But just stop and think about the practicality of this, because that is missing so many times in these executive orders when they come from a leftist. How good is it for a man who claims to be a woman to be bunking in female quarters on our military bases? How about in a submarine where quarters are really cramped? Is that making our military better? This has nothing to do with making our military better, folks. Nothing at all. This has to do with a leftist agenda, with promises made during election campaigns, be it Barack Obama and now Joe Biden. They are in the pocket of the LGBTQ activists in this country. They are in the pocket of the Human Rights Campaign, the most powerful homosexual group in this country that contributes millions of dollars to Democrats. So there you have it. Just the latest from President Joe Biden. You have to wonder, what next? What is it going to mean? And the fact that the new Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin approves of this, why should that be shocking? I'm sure that was one of the things he may have been asked when he was being vetted for this by Joe Biden's administration. So it's full steam ahead. You know, the other thing that is troubling in all of this, of course, is that you hear from the Biden administration that they are going to follow the science. Well, here's a bit of science for you when it comes to sexuality. If you are born with an XX chromosome, that determines whether you're a woman. You are born with an XX chromosome, you are a woman. XY chromosome means you're born as a man. Now, there is nothing you can do, whether it's physical operations or just by the fact you say that all of a sudden somebody born with an XY chromosome, a male, oh, I feel like a woman, therefore I am. You can do surgeries and all of that kind of thing. It does not change a thing. So when you hear Joe Biden and his administration talking about, oh, we are going to follow the science, that's not true. They are following an ideology. They are following a far left agenda. What is this going to mean for the military? We will see. I know Bishop Jackson, perhaps he will talk about this a bit more, being a military guy himself, what this is going to mean. But I can tell you my experience in being in the military, when you have these kinds of things happening, you need to have order in the military. And when you get in more pressured situations in the military, for instance, being deployed into a very serious situation such as Afghanistan, the last thing you need is this kind of social agenda being imposed on you. But that's the Biden administration. As I say, elections have consequences, folks, and that's just one of them being signed today at the White House. All right. The other thing you're going to see later today in Washington, D.C., is the next scene in Nancy Pelosi's anti-Trump agenda, and it is political theater. This evening, House Democrats will walk the impeachment charge of incitement insurrection to the Senate later on this evening. She still hates Donald Trump. He's out of office now. Joe Biden is president. But they are going to continue their hate campaign against former President Donald Trump. You know, Newt Gingrich was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he had some interesting comments to make about the fact of what Nancy Pelosi is up to. Cut number three.
He got more votes than George W. Bush, more votes than Ronald Reagan, more votes than Barack Obama. So what's the moral standing of a bunch of politicians in Washington telling the rest of the American people, you can't vote for this guy ever again? I mean, what's their basis for them? Why does Nancy Pelosi, who represents a small enclave in San Francisco, why does she have the power to say to the entire nation, I will choose who's allowed to run?
That was Newt Gingrich this morning on Fox and Friends. Well, I'll tell you what's up here. It has really nothing to do with truth of what's going on. You will remember, and I know there's the debate about how then-President Trump handled this rally on January 6th in Washington, and there are strong feelings on both sides. But you will remember what he did say, what the mainstream media didn't report, when he called on those large crowd gathered to hear him that day on January the 6th. He told them to go peacefully, patriotically, up to the Capitol building. Now, what the Democrats and their team are going to try to prove that those words were then translated to go commit violence up on Capitol Hill. Now, I don't think the president, the charge is going to stand in the Senate. It's going to take 17 Republicans joining with the Democrats to actually impeach the president. But I don't believe that's going to happen. And the growing number of Republicans senators are speaking out saying there's no way this is going to happen. What the president had to say, may have chosen his words a little bit better, but to accuse him of inciting insurrection with those words just doesn't fly at all. No, this is all part of a very personal hate campaign by Nancy Pelosi. You will remember after the 2016 election, Nancy Pelosi publicly said that that election, where Hillary Clinton was defeated, was hijacked by President Trump. So she's been on that tear ever since. Remember that State of the Union address where she tore up the speech at the end of it. She hates this man. They're hoping that they can bring about some kind of stop for President Trump running again. That's not going to happen. But it's all political theater, and it's happening in Washington, D.C. Much more ahead here on The Awakening. We're back after the break.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Will the federal government move to regulate big tech? I think that is unlikely for many reasons I will delineate in a moment, but I can't deny that there is growing concern about censorship on various social media platforms. It started with disclaimers on social media posts and is now expanded to banning politicians and commentators, and even an attempt to destroy an alternative social media platform. House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes called for a RICO investigation of big tech. Here's a simple test. If no investigation takes place in the next month or so, then you can assume that there will be no regulation of big tech. The common argument is that these social media organizations are private companies and therefore should not be governed by First Amendment protections against censorship. The authors of a Wall Street Journal op-ed argue that these companies should be treated as state actors under existing legal doctrines. The Supreme Court has ruled that government cannot encourage private persons to accomplish what is constitutionally forbidden to accomplish. They argue that Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which immunizes them from liability, does that. Although Donald Trump and a number of members of Congress called for a repeal of Section 230, I doubt that that will happen under this administration that is already showing itself to favor Silicon Valley and the influence of big tech. Even if someday Congress were to remove those protections, I think it is likely that these huge companies would probably withstand any court challenge. Big tech has become the social media leviathan with unchecked power to ban people from their platforms and censor content. But I don't see much courage on the part of the new administration or Congress to challenge its actions. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
On American Family Radio, this is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. You know, without spending a dime, we already have the influence to bring revival to America. In fact, an astounding 71% of the unchurched say they would likely accept an invitation to church if asked by someone they trust. There's just one small problem. Less than 2% of us invited even one person to church this past year. Your personal mission field is huge. Do you know over 80% of those you meet outside the walls are unchurched? More importantly, most of them want to know more about God but are afraid to ask, in spite of the fact that most of them already have at least one person in their life that goes to church on a regular basis. In how many lives are you that one person? Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden is reintroducing sexual deviancy into the military as fast as he can. You'll never guess who's now all about in-person voting. The CDC jiggers COVID test results to make Biden look better. Biden implements a travel ban. Wonder where he got that idea. How is Biden doing with unions and Native Americans? And is he decent and devout? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today in this Monday edition of The Awakening. We're talking just before the break about this evening. House Democrats, led by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, will walk the impeachment charge of incitement of insurrection to the Senate this evening sometime. She's still out to get President Trump, even though he's left office. And I don't know how you impeach somebody who's no longer in office. And that's going to be one of the constitutional questions that'll be asked. So they've been talking about this since January 6th. But what they haven't talked about is the Antifa mob attacks that have been going on out west. And I'm not talking about last summer, folks. I'm talking about in the last 10 days in Portland, Oregon, in Seattle, Washington, in Bellingham, Washington on the weekend, and in Tacoma, Washington last night. Federal buildings being attacked, fires, looting, attacks against police officers. There's not been one word, not one word from Joe Biden about we will not put up with this. I do remember last summer, and I think it was Portland, where there was great objection to when the president wanted to call in the National Guard, to protect federal buildings, which, as I say, are under attack again, but not one word from Joe Biden. Of course, Joe Biden has said that Antifa is just kind of a thought. It's not really a group of people. Well, folks, it's a group of people last night that caused the damage in Tacoma and continue to do so in these various cities. Now, some of the Democrat leaders of these cities have been out there saying, you know, we're not going to tolerate this. Really? Where were you several months ago? And my bet is that they're not going to be able to stop these folks because I don't think Joe Biden has the appetite. You know, they were all for 25,000 National Guard troops in Washington, D.C., where basically nothing happened during the inauguration last week. 25,000. Apparently Joe Biden didn't have a problem with a lot of them being forced to sleep in garages last week in freezing cold temperatures. But not a word. Not a word about these Antifa mob attacks that's going on in several cities. And you're not, as I say, I don't think you're going to hear anything from him. Because they're beholding. They're beholding to the Black Lives Matter groups. They're beholding to these Antifa mob attack. You know, it's just going to continue, folks. That's the mentality. Elections have consequences, as we said right off the bat. All right. Also, what you're going to see, and we talked about a few moments ago, about President Biden today signing another executive order, this one dealing with allowing open transgenderism in our military. Another battlefront right now has to do with transgenders being allowed to compete. A man being allowed to compete as a woman in female sports. There are legal cases that are going on right now. And joining me in studio right now is reporter Chris Woodward. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
All right. One of the cases that's going on right now involves three young ladies. Mm-hmm. When the particular issue is when they were high school students in Connecticut.
Correct.
All three of these young ladies were confronted with a new policy mm-hmm. in that state that said men who claim to be women can compete in female athlete sports.
Correct.
In other words, they can be members of female teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they're either going to be on your particular team if you're a young lady, or you're going to be competing.
Right.
Against them.
Yeah.
Or competing to get a place on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So now Alliance Defending Freedom is representing these three girls. They were on Fox and Friends this morning. And just before we get into the discussion with Chris, I want to play a little bit of the experience. But what you're going to hear the voice of is two of the students, Chelsea Mitchell and Selinan Sewell. And they're going to talk about what they faced with this policy that allows males to be part of female teams just because these males say, I feel like a girl today. Cut number five.
Personally, throughout my high school career, I lost four state championships, two All New England awards, and countless other opportunities to advance to the next level of competition. And it was really heartbreaking to lose those awards and to know that possibly girls all across the country will lose out on awards like that.
I lost out on the opportunity to qualify to the regional New England meet at the 2019 Indoor State Championships because I was beaten by two biological boys. And if they were not there, then I would have been able to go to the regional meet and show off my talents to potential college coaches.
Chris, to those of us, I guess 40 or over or 50 over, mm-hmm. this sounds like pure insanity.
It really does.
It's yeah. pure insanity. And yet, this is what's happening in this country. We're saying a male who says, I feel like a female today, being allowed to compete in female sports.
Right. And as you pointed out here, setting up the soundbite, Connecticut has already been allowing what Joe Biden wants to be done nationally. In other words, Joe Biden, President Biden's executive order nationalizes the Connecticut policy. That's one way to look at it. As a matter of fact, these ladies' attorney, Christiana Holcomb, with Alliance Defending Freedom, mentioned that towards the end of that segment this morning. Chelsea Mitchell was the first one there featured in the soundbite. Selena was the second. They also had another young lady named Alana Mitchell. She talked about how she competed in a race, and there were two biological males. One of them finished first. And then you had a biological female finished second. Alana finished third. But as she pointed out on Fox and Friends, I should have been the runner-up because that was a biological male that I was having to compete against. These ladies have been going through the courts. ADF's been representing them, saying this is a violation of Title IX. It's unfair to these girls. And really, you know, it comes at a time when Joe Biden and the Democratic Party have talked about how they're all for women and they're for women's rights and things like that. Here, clearly, you have a Democratic president ignoring something that Democrats fought hard for back in the 1970s, 1972, as a matter of fact, to get Title IX. And here we are 50 years later-ish with the same Democratic Party just ignoring you know, history and all that they've done to try to have a very small number of biological males out there wanting to compete against female athletes. And it's not just in track. We've done stories at OneNewsNow.com of things like wrestling matches and things of that nature. So there's a wide variety of sports, but these ladies are some of the more talked about in terms of what it is they've experienced in Connecticut and what we'll probably hear in other parts of the country if this goes unchallenged.
Well, it sounds like it, and we know, you know, that school districts that get a lot of federal money because this was a tactic used by Barack Obama. Hey, school, high school in Timbuktu,
dear
whatever.
Colleague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better start applying what we want, or we'll start cutting back federal funding to your school district.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a gun to the head.
It really is. And for a lot of parents that, you know, have been struggling to make ends meet for whatever reason over the years, you have a daughter, a biological female daughter, that has, she has a talent for sports, and she can use that to be able to perhaps go to college and get some of that tuition offset, if not completely taken care of. In these ladies' case, they lost out on things.
Mm-hmm.
Because a biological male said he felt like a woman and wanted to run the 200 or whatever it was and beat them in many of these competitions. And I've talked to Christiana Holcomb myself on a number of occasions about this, and she's pointed out that even after a biological male has maybe gone through the so-called transition and they've had surgery or they've been given medical treatments, things like that, they still have a physiological advantage over these athletes. Their lung capacity is different. Their heart capacity is different. They have different bone structure. There's all kinds of ways that that biological male has an advantage over these young ladies, even if he says he doesn't or he feels he's their, you know, competitor.
You know, Chris, here's what I can't understand. Let's say we have some people listening to us right now who voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And they weren't thinking about these kinds of things. But some of the people listening right now who may have voted that way, they have daughters.
Yeah.
Do they understand that this affects their daughters? I just, is a light going to go on saying, wait a minute, I wasn't aware that Joe Biden's executive orders and what his plans are going to affect my family this way?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people really looked into it. Some people were so anti-Trump that it didn't matter who was put out there against it. Him, they were going to vote for that candidate against Donald Trump. Other people were put off by Donald Trump's behavior or his antics, his language, his tweets, things like that. And then you had other people that are just, you know, completely liberal in terms of policies, things like that. I would imagine that a lot of people had no idea and did not see things like this coming. And this is not a shameless plug for what we do, but it's all the more reason why we need something like American Family News or OneNewsNow.com, because we, along with Christian Post and a few other websites in the vast universe that is news, are the only ones talking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fox and Friends did the segment today, but it's going to be a long time before they cover something like this again.
Yeah. And I'm you know, we're talking about high school sports, particularly here in this particular ADF case. But we're going to see this in university sports.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see it in the Olympics? Are we going to see it in professional sports?
Yes, it will be an Olympic. We've already seen some biological males compete with women in some capacities that determine who goes to the Olympics.
Beam me up, Scotty. All right, stay with us, okay. Chris, because we want to come back. And we want to talk about energy policy, something that's going to affect you folks very, very soon. So stand by for that.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
In the book of Hebrews, there's a verse that reads like this, "And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." There's a story told about a certain little boy who wanted a watch. Day in and day out, he pestered his parents about getting him a watch. His parents put him off every way they could. Finally, he drove his parents to the breaking point. His father told the youngster that he didn't want to hear another word about a watch. Well, for the rest of the week, the lad said nothing about a watch. He knew that to do so would certainly bring some uncomfort to his sitting down place. However, Sunday soon rolled around and the family was gathered together for a period of devotion. It was the custom in the family for each member to learn a new verse of Scripture and to recite it each Sunday during devotions. Every other member of the family had said their Scripture verse when it came time for the small lad to quote his. Looking up with a very solemn face, he quoted his verse perfectly. "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Well, I'm not certain if he got his watch or the other thing, but one thing I can say for him, he was persistent. And that's a quality all of us could use, persistence. For one of our faults today is that we give up too soon, call it quits after a single setback, let failure break us instead of make us. You know, there's very little a person cannot do in this life if he sets out to do it and stays with it. One reason we don't accomplish more is that we're quick quitters. We get a setback or two and then we say it can't be done. We give up. We quit trying. But history is full of things that couldn't be done, and that means it's also full of people who did them. The world looks up in admiration to a person who has staying power. He doesn't have to have great brains or great riches or vast opportunities. But if he believes in something and has the persistence to stay with that belief, regardless of the praise or scorn he receives, the world ultimately will look up to him. One reason there aren't any more people with persistence than there are is the simple reason that it takes a big person to try again or to stick out the ship when the waves get high. Anyone can quit. Anyone can get into a lifeboat and float to safety. But the person with persistence is hunting neither safety nor another mission. He has something he wants to do, and he believes he can do it. So he stays with it, come what may. Then one day, he finally accomplishes the impossible. Great and good goals aren't easy to accomplish. They require great and good people to accomplish them. And great and good people are people who keep on keeping on. I believe God wants a person who says, "I can." I believe God wants a person who will try again. "All things are possible," he said. He's waiting to see if you believe him. If you do, try again.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And welcome back to this Monday edition of The Awakening. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson. He will be back in the chair tomorrow. This morning, on Mornings with Maria on Fox Business, we interviewed former Shell Oil President John Hofmeister. And he was talking about one of the first executive orders that President Biden signed last week was the cancellation of the Keystone project. That's bringing oil, gas down from Canada. I forget how many barrels of oil a day, but we're talking about thousands and thousands. All part of former President Trump's plan to make this country energy independent. And Hofmeister, this is what he said. It makes no sense, the cancellation of the Keystone project, for the future good of the American people. And he warned that we will pay a price for that. And he went on to say, oil is not going away. Anyone that thinks it is certainly doesn't understand how the economy works and how science works. And so it's just going to be a struggle. We're in for a number of years of struggle while we also work on the next set of alternatives. But Joe Biden, beholding to his radical left climate agenda. By the way, his I'm calling him his climate czar, John Kerry, apologized this morning, apologized that Donald Trump withdrew from the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah.
Boy, you talk about a radical climate agenda. So Chris Woodward from our newsroom is joining us. One of his beats is looking at this issue of energy and the future of our energy needs and the impact. Well, let's start with the cancellation of Keystone, Chris. What this means for the country.
Yeah, well, it means fewer jobs, job opportunities, actually not only here in the United States, but in Canada as well. We were, estimates vary, headlines vary, but you're looking at thousands of jobs on both sides of the border. So Canadians are not going to get jobs. Americans are not going to get jobs because President Biden has an environmental issue with the Keystone XL pipeline, which is something that Barack Obama had an issue with back when he was in the Oval Office. So it's basically Joe Biden doing the same thing Obama did, if you want to look at it that way. What's interesting here, though, is that people may not remember this. Keystone XL is actually in two parts. There's the one part that's the controversial part that runs from Canada to Nebraska, and that's the one that has environmental concerns and has had environmental concerns, air quotes, for a long time now. But there is a southern leg that runs from the Oklahoma area down to refineries along the Gulf Coast. So there is a portion of the pipeline project already in existence and has been in operation for many years now. President Obama went down to the southern portion and actually had a photo op, you know, because he was, you know, president photo op, and he was all about that. And he went down there with his leather jacket and talked about how this was great because it was part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. But he frowned upon the northern leg, and now we have President Biden doing the same thing. So you're looking at thousands of jobs lost there. People are not happy about it, including unions here in the United States. Joe Biden has claimed to be a big friend of unions. He's always talked about how he's going to create good jobs, good paying jobs, good union jobs. Those are all his words. Here he just took a bunch of job opportunities away from unions at a time in which he appointed a union official to be his labor secretary. So figure all that out. And a lot of people aren't happy, including the Canadian, the premier of Alberta, which, as you and I were talking about a few days ago, this would be kind of the equivalent of a governor.
Yes.
Okay. So the premier of the oil-rich Canadian province of Alberta, he called Biden's decision an insult and said the federal Canadian government should impose trade sanctions if this is not reversed. So if you are unhappy with Donald Trump's trade policies against Canada and tariffs and all that, here we go again. We could see something like that over a pipeline proposal that, quite frankly, has been in the works since 2008. I mean, this thing goes back to the George W. Bush administration. If people had not hem-hawed over this for the last 12 years now, it would have already been up and running. These jobs would have been in motion. People would be making money, paying taxes. We'd have more supply, all these things. And here we go with Joe Biden saying we're not going to do it.
Well, Joe Biden's war on fossil fuels, people may be saying, okay, you know, so Keystone is canceled. How does that affect me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how it affects you is, you know, oil, gas eventually makes it to the pumps.
Right.
Where you fill up your car.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Where do you want to get oil from? Do you want to get it from a country that likes us, or do you want to get one that has people that want us to be wiped off the face of the earth?
Mm.
You pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Last time I checked, Canada doesn't hate us to the point that they want us to not exist. They depend on us for trade,
yes,
just like we depend on the Canucks for trade products as well. So, you know, that's been one of the issues. And under the Trump administration, Donald Trump was all about fossil fuels, and he wanted us to be more energy independent to mm-hmm. where we wouldn't have to rely on foreign governments and far distant places of the world for oil and gas. Joe Biden says he doesn't want us to use oil. He wants to try to create and generate more interest in alternative energies. But I brought a printout from the Energy Information Administration. This is a division of the federal government, so it's not a Koch Brothers Institute funded whatever mm-hmm. That people might have an issue with. This is from the federal government, and it just goes to show you how much solar and something like wind power generates. Here in the United States, wind in the last year or two provided 7.1% of the nation's electricity. Solar power provided 1.7% of the nation's electricity. Joe Biden wants us to use more wind and solar as opposed to gas and coal and natural gas, things like that, to power our homes. That minuscule number of wind and solar power is after billions of federal, state, and local dollars that go into these things. He only wants to increase that so that way we can get further and further away from fossil fuels, but we are decades away from getting to what the next big thing. To give you an idea just on gas, like if we were to stop using electric, if we were to stop using gas-powered cars and start moving more toward electric vehicles, or EVs as they're known, EV sales will eventually pass gas-powered models, but this is one recent headline from the last 6 months or so. Electric vehicles will surpass gas-powered models in 2037.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2037.
So in the meantime, though, as Joe Biden turns back the tap on fossil fuels, oil and gas, what we're going to see is an increase in price at the gas pump.
Eventually, yes.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. But folks, you have to understand, it's not just you going to fill up your car. It is, you know, the trucks that get groceries from warehouses to Walmart and Kroger and other grocery stores.
Correct.
Their fuel costs are going to go up. That means your grocery prices are going to go up. The other thing is that Joe Biden likes to talk about, you know, he's the big friend of the middle class. Higher fuel prices affect the middle class the most. They get hurt the most in this.
Yeah. Well, I had a soundbite last week in a story. President Biden in 2020, then candidate Biden, told ABC News, I think it was David Muir, he told him that no one making under $400,000 will pay more taxes if I'm president. Well, here we are. We're going to pay more taxes for fuel, and that's just one thing that we can expect to pay due to his leadership and decisions there in the White House. So we're going to pay more taxes. Fuel, obviously, is an area. Pete Buttigieg, the guy that Biden wants to be the transportation secretary, told senators last week, we are open to a gas tax increase.
Yes.
Now, we haven't had one since the 1990s. I was a young whippersnapper back then. It's been a long time since we've had one, in all fairness. And to be fair, a lot of auto manufacturers are starting to make electronic or electric vehicles. Even they're getting into the transportation sector where they're trying to make electric big rigs and things like that. But that's not going to come cheap, and that cost is going to get passed down to the consumer. So we might actually get a double whammy where you're paying the higher fuel prices from those that haven't gone electric yet, and then for those that have, you're going to pay that cost too, because everything trickles down to the consumer.
Yeah, this another avenue that, you know, as far as our economy goes, I know that you cover this, is this idea of a federal minimum wage of $15, which Biden has announced in the last week or so.
Yeah.
He wants a minimum wage of $15. I heard a report this morning that the estimates coming in, and this is kind of a nonpartisan organization, that move is going to cost 1.2 million jobs.
At least.
Yeah,
at
because... least. Companies will automate more because they can't afford to pay that. And then again, the price of products is going to go up.
Yeah.
You just put your hands in the air and they say, what are they thinking? You know, this
well,
is.
It's government. They don't think.
They don't think. Hey, Chris Woodward from our newsroom. Thank you so much,
You're
sir.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. All right. When we come back here on The Awakening, time to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The number is there. Call it right now. We'll wait to hear from you.
Hey, Siri.
Go ahead.
Show me some Christian music streaming apps.
Okay. Here's what I found under Christian music streaming apps.
The AFR app? Isn't that talk shows only?
It was, until recently. Now the new music streaming option plays music 24/7.
Oh, wow.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net. American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
When a young mom in crisis is pregnant and not sure what to do, the Ministry of Preborn is there. This young mom was 18 weeks pregnant and was considering an abortion. She talked with the staff and then met her baby on ultrasound.
After seeing my baby on the screen and hearing the heartbeat, I realized that's my little baby, and we decided to step up and be parents.
Preborn centers lead the nation in providing free ultrasounds and leading young moms to Christ.
The staff comfort us and they let us know that it is well with Jesus, and now here I am today.
Preborn clinics are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the nation and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. To learn how you can help save a baby's life, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let me ask you to go back in time. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Jay Payleitner reminds us to remember those early days of our relationship.
And I would have guys come up to me who were hurting. They would say, I don't know what happened to the girl I married. And I just want to grab them by the lapels and say, you know what? That girl you married, she's asking the same question. She's sharing your bed. She's sharing your kitchen. She's in your home. She's saying, where did that boy go? Now, of course, women, they want a knight in shining armor, a big, strong guy. But they also need that boy they married sometimes, and we get too far away from that.
Take a couple of minutes and look through your wedding album together and talk about why you married each other. You'll find more encouragement for your journey at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call, and a lot of calls, but I guess sometimes it's worth having a little fun here, and let's do that before we go to our phones. You know that our new president, Joe Biden, has announced for the first 100 days at least, a national mask mandate. In particular, you know, in federal buildings, you're going to have to wear masks. On airplanes, on public transit between states, you're going to have to wear a mask. That's what a mandate is. Well, Joe Biden is being called out because since issuing that mandate last Wednesday, he's been caught several times on federal property not wearing a mask himself. And so late last week, White House correspondent for Fox, Peter Ducey, asked the White House spokesperson, Jen Psaki, about the Biden family going maskless at the Lincoln Memorial, like hours after he issued the executive order mandating them on federal property. So listen how that exchange went. Cut number two.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
Yeah, you sure don't, because you didn't answer the question, Jen. The question was, issued mask mandate, not wearing masks, and she skates away from it. I hope she's asked that question again, although most reporters in that room are real Joe Biden fans, so it may not come up again. But kudos to Fox White House correspondent Peter Ducey for at least challenging her on that. It's hypocrisy, folks, and you're going to see it over and over again. And it wasn't just that one incident. I've been watching some of Joe Biden's news conference in the last week, and many times he is not wearing a mask. It's classical, do as I say, don't do as I do. And I expect we'll see a lot of that in the coming days. All right, let's go to our phones. To Arkansas first, and we say hello to Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't have internet right now, but what I'm asking is when I get my internet back up, a good site that has all of President Trump's accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them, but I wanted to see them all listed because I want to tell someone who said to me, so what did he do?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I can name just a few. I mean, before the pandemic hit, lowest unemployment rates in decades in this country, lowest unemployment rate for women, lowest unemployment rate for Black Americans, for Hispanics. We saw all that. Record high numbers for the stock market. Your 401k, if you have a 401k, did extremely well. He did all those things. He accomplished as much as he could because Congress wouldn't give him much money, but built the wall, strengthened our southern border, and, of course, a great friend of Israel. Those are just some of the things he promised. Overall, what he promised during the election campaign in 2016 is what he did. So those are just a few of his accomplishments. And I'll tell you what, if the pandemic hadn't happened, I don't think Joe Biden would have much to run on at all. All right. Good to hear from you, Lynn. Let's go next to Texas and Jack. Jack, welcome to the program.
Hi. I wanted to make a couple quick comments. First of all, God does not make mistakes. Mm-hmm. A boy is a boy. A girl is a girl.
Yes.
There's no science about it. It's just the way it is. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Second, I've been in the oil business for over 24 years. Okay, and I can tell you for a fact, there isn't probably maybe three or four things in anyone's house that isn't touched by a petroleum-based product some way or another.
That's right.
So him with Biden shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and prices going up, that's 70,000 people losing their jobs. And he wants to create jobs? Well, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous, and I'm hoping, I'm praying for the best for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one thing he's signing all these executive orders and putting the far left agenda. I will give him credit. I will give Joe Biden credit for one thing. He is doing what he promised to do during the election campaign. Elections have consequences. So if you voted for Joe Biden, if you voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but you're now campaigning or complaining, pardon me, you're complaining about what he's putting into place, whether it is open transgenderism in the military, which he announced today, shutting the pipelines down, causing your gas prices to go up, can't complain. So, as I say, I'll give him credit for one thing. So far, he is doing exactly what he promised, with one exception. One exception. And Randy, I want to play cut eight for everybody. Here's the exception. What you're going to hear first is what Joe Biden was saying, what he was going to do with COVID-19. He said this during the debates. And then you're going to hear what he's saying now. Cut number eight.
What I would say is I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country. It's his ineptitude that caused caused the country to have to shut down in large part. Why businesses have gone under, why schools are closed, why so many people have lost their living, and why they're concerned.
There's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months. This would overwhelm emergency shelters, increase COVID-19 infections as people have nowhere to go and can't socially distance.
So there's a big exception. He said during the debates, I'm going to shut down the virus. I'm not going to shut down the country. But now last week he was saying this. I heard him. It's going to get far worse, folks. Far worse. Businesses are going to continue to shut down. We're going to continue to be overwhelmed by this. He sure changed his tune on that front. So I'll tell you what, as I say, elections have consequences. You knew what was coming, folks, out there. So no complaints now about what's going to happen now that Joe Biden is putting his promises into place and into public policy. We say hello to Steve in Tennessee. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. My message is, or you know, my comments are multifaceted and are going to be short and sweet here. I didn't fall off the cabbage wagon yesterday. I'm 67 years old. And so, the break-in there at the Capitol was carefully orchestrated. That was deliberately done by the crooked Democratic Party and extensions of China. And it's to cause as much trouble in this country as possible. It was designed to break up the hearing about the very questionable election results. And also, let's see, I'm not going to take the vaccine, and I'm going with the preventative, vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to get off the phone, and it's the multifaceted thing about the politics and about the COVID thing.
Yes.
And so, I'd like to point out, I've been going without my mask for the last 2 months, and I haven't came down with COVID yet.
All right, Steve. Yeah, there are a lot like Steve out there. And, you know, with regards to that's going to be a debate, certainly in the Christian community, about take the vaccine. You can't. I think in certain situations, you may not have an option, perhaps if you're a healthcare worker. On the mask, oh boy, that debate has been raging for a while, I'll tell you that. And I've got friends on both sides of that issue, but we'll have to wait and see. But right now, you certainly have somebody in the White House who's a big believer in masks until it applies to him, as we were just talking about. I think we have time for one more call. Laura in Oklahoma, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I guess a couple of things. The hypocrisy that comes out of D.C. through the Biden team is inexcusable. You know, he tries to fight the grandpa too, yet he's killing babies, killing jobs, killing the nation, killing our borders. He hasn't got the good sense God gave a drunk duck. And none of us are just speaking the way we need to speak, because everyone is terrified after the fiasco that happened in D.C. and got blamed on the Trump supporters. I was not a Trump fan originally, but even I can step back and see the things that Trump did that were fantastic. He was a phenomenal president. Yet because of our lack of willingness as believers to get off of our duff and speak up and speak out, the lies from the media and the left are just completely taking on a actual toxic virus throughout the information.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous that people don't know.
I think, Lori, you're exactly right. But you know what, as we've been saying, appreciate your call. What we've been saying is that the American public is going to find out, because now Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have the power to put their election promises into public policy. We're going to find out what the far left, what socialism is really all about over the next couple of years. But I don't think you've heard the last of Donald Trump, because I think what he's going to focus on is not creating another party. He's going to be focusing on primaries that are coming up. And he's hoping that the American people realize that they made a mistake in last year's election. All right, good to have been with you. Fred Jackson sitting in for the Bishop. We'll be back, Lord willing, in this chair tomorrow. Have yourself a great day and stand by for more great programming here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.